Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Understanding Our Times broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, with bold and insightful discussion of current events in the light of a Christian worldview. We count it a privilege to bring you a variety of guests with thought-provoking analysis and commentary on a weekly basis. And now for today's show, here's your host, Kevin Thompson.
Welcome to this live edition of the Understanding Our Times Internet Radio Broadcast, brought to you by the fine folks here at Blog Talk Radio. Now, some of you are shocked we are on live today. You weren't expecting that. Well, I wasn't expecting that either. But in God's providence, He completely knew this would be happening. And for whatever reason, in His divine and sovereign plan, we are on live today. We're expecting a pre-recorded broadcast with Pastor Garrett Lear. Unfortunately, that file, for whatever reason, I just couldn't get it to upload. So I don't have that for you today. But instead, we have something much, much better. Instead of hearing a pre-recorded program with Pastor Lear, you're going to hear a live program with a live, in the flesh, hopefully not too fleshly, though, Pastor Garrett Lear. Pastor Lear, welcome to our program.
I will have no other king but King Jesus, but you scared me a little bit there, Kevin, when you said live in the flesh, because, you know, Romans 8:1 says that there is now, therefore, no condemnation to those that walk not after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. So I'm still alive, but I'm walking in the Spirit.
Well, I am glad to hear that. We are experiencing a little bit of technical difficulty here, because we just mentioned the problem with the uploading. The chat room today is not going to be open. For some reason, it's not opening up here on my computer. So there won't be a chat room today, but the phone number, if you want to call in, is alive. There are a number of spots open if you want to join us. Number to join us is 347-945-7171. That's 347-945-7171. Now, for those of you who have been listening to our program, our guest today, Pastor Lear, the Patriot Pastor, is no stranger to you. He once hosted the program back during the summer, during my little hiatus as I made the move out here to Wisconsin. But for those of you who are not familiar, Pastor Lear, I should ask, could you kind of give us your testimony, your background? You do have a very rich lineage and heritage and a great godly testimony to share. So why don't you take a second here and just kind of introduce yourself?
Sure. Well, my first and most important joy to give as a testimony is that I'm a born-again Christian. Though I was raised in a otherwise known Christian church growing up, I didn't really, in my growing up years, though I went through all the things that the church did, I was born again later in life, you might say, when I became an adult. And so serving the Lord is my great honor, and I was called as a child in Lexington, Massachusetts, when I was about 6 years old. I know we don't hear much of that kind of talk anymore about somebody being called to ministry or being called in that way to serve the Lord, but that's what I believe, and I certainly can state the time, place, and exactly what I heard at the time. But I'm also a Mayflower ancestor. I have Mayflower descendant. I have 388 years of ancestry in America, and in my growing up years, though I knew about that, I didn't really pay much attention to it, as most kids probably don't. And basically, for saying, though I saw all those things, like growing up there in Lexington, seeing the Minuteman and the reenactment every year, all those things were more like a carnival for me than really a way of life. But after I was saved, after I became born again, and of course started to research my heritage and realized just how much Christ was involved in the founding of this country. And I not only started to realize that the Lord wanted me to preach the gospel, and certainly anyone that's ever known knows I always make testimony of the Lord, and even for the benefits of this broadcast, I would like to share a scripture that fits in with the testimony that I'm sharing right now from Proverbs 29:2, which I've been reminding a lot of people of these days. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. I believe that's happening, Kevin, right to us now. But it was one of the things that the Lord just really showed me, that our country was founded by Christians to have a better government than the world had seen, never putting government in the place of God, as we see many times today. And so as I go around the country and on radio or wherever, whatever venue I possibly can be in, as the Patriot pastor, that first of all, as I tell people, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm glad to say I love Christ as my Savior and Lord. And as Isaiah 33:22 says, He is both lawgiver, judge, our King, and our Savior. He's all of those things. But I started to realize also how much love that I have for my native land. And I'm not ashamed to say I love the original intent of America. And of course, people always want to thump me and say, well, so you're saying America is perfect and America's never done anything wrong? I said, well, of course America's done wrong, the same as the Bible says very clearly, that all have come short of the glory of God, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So it's just a great pleasure and a passion of mine to remind people how Christ influenced this country, the building of this country, all the way back to the Mayflower, actually even back before that, down in the Jamestown colony in 1607, and throughout our foundation with documents like the Mayflower Compact, the Declaration of American Independence, and our Constitution, and how, in a sense, when I dress in my Patriot Pastor uniform, I am very much like the Patriot pastors of the 18th century, starting as early, well, actually in the early 1700s and through the War for American Independence, were called, in a sense, they were called the Black Robe Regiment. Well, I'm a 21st century expression, preach very similar things, election day sermons, those kind of things that they did then. And of course, most people, if they're going to be historically accurate, we'll find that those Patriot pastors had tremendous influence on the outcome of the War for American Independence. In fact, they really were, according to King George, his most formidable opponents.
Well, Pastor Lear, you've always considered you to be a friend, a counselor, man of God, someone who's not ashamed of the gospel, even in public forums, in political situations. You're first and foremost an ambassador of Christ. So let me first say thank you for your stance here.
I appreciate that.
But our topic for today is the idea of state sovereignty. And for some are asking, why in the world am I talking to a pastor about state sovereignty? But in the state of New Hampshire recently, this past week, unfortunately, this bill was voted down. We're talking about House Concurrent Resolution 6, there before the state legislature in New Hampshire. And this bill would, in effect, we talk about the idea of state sovereignty, the idea that the states have the right, or particularly in this situation, New Hampshire, has the right to basically hold the federal government accountable to the Constitution, which, wow, what an incredible concept. But the state would basically have the idea to, if Congress oversteps its bounds, as I believe it does on a regular basis, the state of New Hampshire would then, given with this authority, basically say, no, I'm sorry, we don't have to accept this. You've overstepped your boundary, you've crossed the constitutional line, and we're not going to tolerate this, which to me is an amazing thing that there has to be a bill to say this. But Pastor Lear, tell us about HCR 6 and your involvement in this. You've already testified before the legislature about this. You have a very good relationship with the main sponsor here, Representative Itza. Talk about your role in this process.
Well, I'd be glad to do that, very much so. I'd be glad to do that. And I do want to address one of your remarks, Kevin, concerning, you know, why are we talking to a pastor about this? Well, I guess we'd have to say there are a lot of pastors that have no interest. And incidentally, at our rally, which was on Wednesday the 4th, there in front of the Capitol building in Concord, it was 14 degrees above zero, and there were only two other pastors there that I am aware of, out of all the pastors that will be affected by this. And the issue of sovereignty, and this is why I would be involved, first of all, as a pastor, as a man of God, but also, as I remind people, I'm not just a pastor, I'm not just a man of God, I'm not just a born-again Christian, I'm also a man, I'm also a citizen. And I take my citizenship rights very seriously, and I take my citizenship responsibilities very seriously. But the issue of sovereignty is very important, because we know that in the first commandment that we shall have no other gods. And unfortunately, what happens in the history of the world is that every government that is allowed to expand beyond any limitations always takes the place of God, or tries to. I mean, it's impossible for anybody or any entity to take God's place. We know that. But people try. And it goes all the way back, really, to the Garden of Eden, but I was thinking about the 11th chapter of Genesis concerning the Tower of Babel, that in many ways Nimrod was trying to take God's place. He was trying to command God, and we have that problem today. We call it statism or statism. We've had governments throughout the world in modern remembrance, communist China, certainly, communist Russia, Marxist and Stalinist Italy at one time, or I shouldn't say Stalinist, but fascist, under Mussolini or Hitler, and Nazism and so forth, always trying to dethrone Jesus Christ, who is rightfully on his throne forever. So that's really what the sovereignty issue is about. And in America, our founders understood, by creating a constitution that I am absolutely sure was an outcropping from the Declaration of American Independence, and also certainly an outcropping from their understanding of Scripture, that government, and it was a Puritan ideal, actually, that government is evil, but it's a necessary evil. And as a necessary evil that would be in the hands of men, that the sovereignty in that government needed to be spread out throughout branches of government, so there would be checks and balances, so that at no point in time would that government be in such a position of strength and sovereignty to control everybody's life from the cradle to the grave and every possible thing. So the issue of state sovereignty, and I remind our listeners, Kevin, tonight, that it was not the federal government that started the states. This is an important issue. Yep. The states got together, and when they were colonies, and of course we had to have a government, and in 1777 that government actually was the Articles of Confederation. And from that, some articles that were put in the confirmation of that Articles of Confederation, that was in 1781. The style of this confederacy shall be the United States of America. Each state retains its sovereignty, freedom, and independence, and every power, jurisdiction, and right, which is not by this confederation expressly delegated to the United States or Congress assembled. The Article 3 says, the states hereby severally enter into a firm league of friendship with each other for their common defense, security of their liberties, and their mutual and general welfare, binding themselves to assist each other against all force offered to or attacks made on them or any of them on account of religion, sovereignty, trade, or any other pretense whatsoever. Now, I'm sure our listeners recognize some of the verbiage in there is very similar to the preamble to the Constitution. And in our Constitution, Amendment 9 says the enumeration of the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. And Amendment 10, and this comes to the crux, Kevin, of HCR 6, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. And incidentally, for those listeners that might be New Hampshire residents or those that are enviable, I should say envious of those who live in the free or freedom state of New Hampshire, not nearly as free as it used to be, but live free or die is our motto. Article 7 is called state sovereignty. The people of this state have the sole and exclusive right of governing themselves as a free, sovereign, and independent state, and do and forever hereafter shall exercise and enjoy every power, jurisdiction, and right pertaining thereunto, which is not or may not hereafter be by them expressly delegated to the United States of America in Congress assembled. Now, I beg the indulgence of our listeners tonight, Kevin, for allowing me to read those things, but that is what the law of our land is about, and it's being broken. So HCR 6 and other resolutions very similar to it, and you brought this up, Kevin, early on in the conversation, that, why do we even need to do these things? Why do we even need to say these things when we already have a Constitution that says it? And that is a good point. Why do we? Because those boundaries have been crossed over, and eliminating the sovereignty that is established in the Constitution is not going to work to our benefit and is harming us as an American people and limiting the freedoms that have made us so prosperous.
Now, there are those out there who may be listening thinking, okay, we get the idea, but this sounds vaguely familiar, states' rights and federal rights and states wanting to overrule what the federal government is. But didn't we fight a civil war over this? Does this take us back to those days?
Well, that's a very good question, and yes, there's no way that we could not avoid bringing that subject up. And of course, as I have spent a good portion of my life traveling through all of these states, I mean, I've got 388 years of ancestry, only about within 2 hours north of Plymouth in Massachusetts. That's pretty much what my ancestry is, but I've lived down south, and I've talked to Southerners on their issues concerning what they call, they don't call it the Civil War, they call it the War of Northern Aggression.
Right.
And yes, there were issues that were taken concerning the issue of sovereignty. The point that I believe that we need to look at now is not to focus on what happened in the Civil War, which I'm sorry to say this, and two of my ancestors who both became presidents were Civil War generals in the Union Army. I mean, I'm proud of them and so forth, but there were some things done at that time which may have seemed expedient but could have been considered unconstitutional that, let's say, left the door open for further harm to come. You know, one of the things that I think of which just recently has been eradicated through executive order was the Posse Comitatus Act, where when the military was used to try to repatriate the South to the Union and to control some of the government there and so forth and so on, it was very oppressive. And, of course, the military was removed from that, and the Posse Comitatus Act was put in saying that we would not use American military basically against American citizens. And so what happened during the Civil War, and I have a couple of perspectives on that. One of the issues was state sovereignty, but one of the other issues was slavery. There's no doubt about it, because during the Constitutional Convention and the ratification in 1787, the Puritan New Englanders, of which I am descended, were vehemently opposed to slavery. Many Northerners were, not all, but many were. Many Southerners were not slave owners and were not in favor of slavery either, but it was certainly part of their industry. in the plantation lifestyle, and it was made as a promise to the Northerners, we're going to sunset slavery. Well, they never did. It took a war to stop it. So I think there's more than one issue about the Civil War. But my main focus at this point is to say, okay, let's go back to the original intent. If we go back to the original intent, which has kept us prosperous throughout the years of our existence, we will find in the original intent of our founders, the original intent of the Constitution, those things that are best for us. So that's more my concentration at this time, and I believe a lot of other people are looking at that too, say, okay. And you know, Kevin, isn't there a biblical premise to this? When we read the letters to the churches in the book of Revelation, and the Lord says, get back to your first love.
Right.
And I think that's what's happening right now with the state sovereignty issue. Now, what has provoked this? You haven't asked that question yet. Maybe
that's
what we
need.
That's
on the list here. But let me just quickly introduce. We were reading through this. You just reminded me of the biblical allusions here. In our study survey that I teach, we were going through the book of Galatians, and there Paul says, listen, have I become your enemy now that you have, that I'm telling you that you've strayed from what the foundations that lead through the gospel. Now you're preaching another gospel. It's not really gospel at all. But it's almost that same idea where am I your enemy now? Because I'm trying to bring you back to where you started, that purity which began. And that really kind of, I'm sure, Pastor, you must feel that way at times.
I do. I think
it's an enemy.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes people treat me as an enemy. I said, an enemy? And people say, this is radical, this is revolutionary, or whatever. I said, no, it's not.
Right.
To know that something is, let's say, for example, if somebody chooses to disobey the Lord and disobey his word, that person is the radical one. I mean, it's radical to think that anybody can stand against the truth of the Lord, to stand against the Lord himself and his truth and his word and survive that. That's a pretty radical notion. And then on top of that, we have a constitution that still exists. And incidentally, as a country, we have lived under the same constitution longer than any country in the history of the world. That's because our constitution has been better than any constitution ever crafted on the face of the earth, and because it was crafted predominantly by Christian people, and it was an outcropping of another document signed and ratified by good Christian men called the Declaration of American Independence, where most countries of the world have never had anything even close to that. So we're not radical who want to see, and by the way, for our listeners, I'm sure that most of them know, everybody from the dog catcher to the President of the United States takes an oath. Every serviceman that we have in Afghanistan now, in Iraq, in the 155 countries of the world where we have American service personnel, have all taken an oath to defend the Constitution against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. Why are we considered radical? Why is it radical to say, and I really like the scripture that you picked out there in Galatians, Kevin, because that does cover it very well. But see,
well, let me assure you, you're not our enemy here. We appreciate what you're doing. But let's get back to the question we kind of started off with. What has provoked this bill and other bills throughout our country? Different legislatures are taking this up. What's been the spark that's ignited this flame now?
Well, I think, first of all, November 4th did a pretty good job of that. And I certainly mean no disrespect to any of our listeners out there who voted for Obama, for Barack Obama. But I think many people are flat-out surprised at what kind of things have happened so quickly with executive orders, and then and we can't just level this on the Obama administration beforehand with these different bailouts. And last night, and this is in way of explanation or answer to your question, last night I was at an event where I was asked to be the chaplain, and it was for a Republican event. and former Governor John H. Sununu, who was a three-term governor here in New Hampshire years ago, was the main speaker. He stood up there and he said this. He said, "We hope that the governor of this state will stand against the stimulus plan and not take any of this money because we all know." Now, this is also a man, not only was governor of New Hampshire, he was also chief of staff for George Bush Sr. He knows how this goes. He said, this money comes with strings attached. And so when anyone, and being a native New Englander, we appreciate some homespun wisdom that says, well, don't lick a gift horse in the mouth. But see, this is not a gift horse. This is strings attached as a way of trying to control state governments, and many of the states and their legislators are saying, nope, we don't want it. We don't. And so the stimulus plan in itself, I guess I'd have to use the terminology that was used by Patrick Henry, who incidentally did not want to go to the Constitutional Convention. He said this, I smell a rat. Well, the rat in the sense was, okay, is this Constitution going to put our people in a bondage? Or is this Constitution going to be used to lock up the government in the chains of the Constitution? So I believe this is what's prompted the states to look very much at the situation and say, we need to protect our states from having a bill sent to us. And when I say bill, meaning, you know, that we owe so much and that we have to do things and that we don't want to do or that change the whole character of our state. And so, you know, as I travel the 50 states, every state is different. If somebody said to me, well, you know, I really want to live in a state that has a minimal amount of government and a minimal amount of red tape and so forth, I'd say, well, I know several states in the union would be like that. The only one that I know of like that on the east northeast is New Hampshire, although that's changed a lot. But you can go out to places like Nevada or Idaho or Alaska. There's an opportunity if somebody says, well, I really want a strong central government and I want, you know, more of a socialist type of agenda. I say, well, go to Hawaii. The governor of Hawaii is the most powerful governor in all 50 states because Hawaii is very much a central government kind of state. So there'd be opportunities to, if you don't like what one state is doing, you could move somewhere else. And that's a concept all the way back to the original colonies. And so that's very important today. And that was said last night, and I appreciated it, by Governor Sununu when he said, you know, I wasn't fortunate enough to be born here in New Hampshire, but I was smart enough when I grew up to move here. And he said, I want to see New Hampshire stay the way that it's been. I don't want to see it changed. I don't want New Hampshire being told from Washington, D.C. what it's going to be. And I think that really covers the point. I mean, he put it into the perspective that people endure a lot of things because it takes effort to change things. And we read that in the Declaration of American Independence that basically, and this is the way I sum it all up, of the 28 indictments against the British government and the British king. We can't take it anymore. That's basically what they said. We've done everything we can. We've tried to make peace. We've tried to work these things out. You've rebuffed us in every turn. We can't take it anymore. You're eking out our substance.
I think that's a great note to end on. We can't take it anymore. And I'm praying that, and I know this bill has recently been voted down, but I know it's not out yet, as it will be reproposed in the future. We'll be praying for that. We're running quickly out of time. But, Pastor Lear, could you give us – you've got a brand-new website up there with some videos on there that I think would be good for our listeners to take a look at. Give us the website there.
It's thepatriotpastor.org, www.thepatriotpastor.org.
Pastor Lear, that's our cue. We're running out of time here. I want to thank you really for the stance you have. Pastor Lear just got off an hour before he went on, and he was to come in with very little time. I appreciate that. The pastors are so valuable, especially on Saturday, right before Sunday. So, Pastor, thank you again for coming on the program. Thank you all for listening. Come back to us next week to be talking about your responsibility, evangelism, just have a responsibility with them. So join us here next week for another Understanding Times broadcast.